one spot, now she found her a replacement. I swear now I can't take it, knowing somebody's got my baby.
Come on, baby.
Now you ain't around, baby, I can't see. I should've put it down, should've got that ring. Cause I can feel her in the air.
It's
see
fine.
A pretty face,
that's what we got, baby.
What am I, my love, my life, my charlie, my wife. She left me.
And Eli in the evening show here on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. A lot to cover here on this beautiful Sunday evening. A lot of football, a lot of baseball. Of course, we have that St. Louis, San Francisco going to game 7. A lot of the NHL, we have the MLB, a lot to talk about. We have a fully loaded. Let's start out the view of the DJ and Eli in the evening show every Sunday, 11 o'clock. Keep it locked here on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. Let's go out to my partner, Eli. Eli,
hey,
what's up,
hey, DJ, how you doing?
We're doing very, very good. A lot of stuff to talk about. What a day in the NFL. And, you know, we're going to start out on that Thursday game with the 49ers and the Seahawks. We're getting right down to business to the NFL. We know the 49ers, San Francisco, who lost the game last week to the Giants. They got shellacked at home. Was a 49ers-Seahawks game. They beat them 13-6. Of course, we know Alex Smith, 14-23, 140 yards and a touchdown. Then their Frank Gore led the league in rushing and receiving, 16 carries, 131 yards, zero touchdowns. And then receiving, he had 5 receptions for 51 yards. Good win for the 49ers. It was expected. I think it was a good way to come back against that Giants. What do you have to say about the 49ers-Seahawks game Thursday Night Football?
I mean, the good thing I liked about the San Fran bouncing back from that Giants debacle, you said, was the defense played really well. It wasn't one of these, you know, 35-20 wins. It was a shutdown Seattle. The offense came out. I mean, that's the way San Fran's going to have to win because, frankly, Alex Smith is so inconsistent. You know, you never know what you're going to get from him week to week. So the defense has to play up to the San Fran caliber defense, and they did that in this comeback game here on Thursday night.
100%, and of course we know that the San Francisco defense is bar none the best defense in the NFL, and the best defense the NFL has arguably seen since that Ravens defense back with Rex Ryan. I know we're going to move on to the next game, which was the Jets-Patriot game. It was a tight game, big matchup. Nobody expected to see the Jets, what they did, and Mark Sanchez play the way he did. Of course, we know the Jets are now 3-4, Patriots 4-3, 2-1 at home. The Patriots came out on top, 29-26. It was a big game. Mark Sanchez was 28-41, 328 yards and a score. Tom Brady 26-42 with 459 yards, 2 touchdowns. At least the Patriots got the win, but that was a very, very interesting matchup. What do you have to say about that Jets-Patriot matchup today?
You know, you know me being a Dolphins fan, and so I know the AFC East pretty well. The AFC East right now, to me, is wide open. You know, New England the past few years, you've given them the benefit of the doubt that they're going to come out and they're the ones to beat. But right now, they've looked very beatable in 3 to 4 of their games. They've come out with wins, but they do look very beatable. And the Jets, their offense was quite shocking, especially, you know, I'm used to Sparano's offense that he ran in Miami last year. He used a very much run it, you know, run it, try to get the field goal, touchdown,
right,
the reception.
Ground the pound.
And
of course,
you know,
with Rex Ryan coming out and saying that we built the Jet team to play the Patriots. And you know what? Everything that Rex Ryan says, that's 100% right. Because if you're going to play the Patriots 10 times in 5 years, you are going to build your team to beat the Patriots. And you know what? They came pretty close. There was a game. There was not no blowout in Foxborough. Good matchup. Let's move on. Here's the big story of the week. Texans-Ravens. The Texans killed the Ravens 43-13. The Texans are for sure the team to beat right now in the NFL. Flacco was only 21-43 with 147 yards. Ray Rice had only 9 carries for 42 yards. And then the other side of the ball was Matt Dobby, 23-37. 256 and 2 touchdowns. Of course, Harry Forster, 19 carries, 98 yards, and 2 scores. And Andre Johnson, of course, arguably the best receiver in the NFL. What do you have to say about the Texans team? They are the team to beat in the NFL. Why are they the team to beat in the NFL? And why are they indeed the future of the NFL?
It's very simple. Both sides of the ball are stacked for them right now. They can do anything on the offense because you've got Arian Foster as a top running back in the league who consistently, you know, aside for the injury aspect that he has, if he stays healthy, he gets you 150 to 200 yards every game. And if that were just the case, your offense can do a lot. But you add a top receiver in the league in Andre Johnson and Matt Schaub, who's playing very well, that offense can score anytime they want. And their defense is playing shutdown ball, aside for the last week against Green Bay. But their front line is batting down balls, getting pressure on the quarterback, and giving their secondary a chance to cover the receivers on the other end and keeping other offenses in check.
100%. Now let's move out to the Cowboys-Panthers game. Interesting, the Cowboys are now 3-3, and a 2-2 away. The Panthers are 1-8. You know what? The way the Cowboys played the game, they came out on top. 19-14. Romo was 24-34, 227 at a touchdown. On the other side of Carolina, Newton, 21-37, 233 yards. I know my New York Giants, a big game in Dallas next week. What are your thoughts on the way the Cowboys play the Panthers this week, how they won, and the state of the Cowboys so far in the NFL?
I think if you're a Cowboys fan right now, you got to be very happy. Even though they did lose last week, it was a very close game against a Baltimore team that last week played very, very well, and up until playing Houston this week has been one of the top teams in the league. You know, Dallas could very well compete with the Giants for that title, even though the Giants are playing very well. 100%. Next week, like you said, is going to be a great game.
It's going to be a big game. Of course, let's remind our audience, the number to call is 347-637-2306. We just messaged in the Giant-Cowboy game of next week. We will head out to the phone lines to Ike. He wants to talk about the chances of the Cowboys versus the Giants. Ike, you're on the DJ.
How are you, DJ? And you like, great show. So just before I get to my points on Giants-Cowboys, I'm a huge Packer fan. I want you to know, great time watching the Pack and my boy A-Rod beat the Rams today out on the Salty Dog in Bay Ridge. A big thank you
Brooklyn
to all the Packer
boy.
Fans who came out there today. Anyway, there's one point on the Giants-Cowboys next week. The Giants going up against the Cowboys secondary. Maurice Claiborne had a wonderlick of 6. Eli Manning had a wonderlick of 40. Eli Manning has got to be able to outsmart Maurice Claiborne. Just what are your thoughts on that interesting look on the Giants-Cowboy game?
We thank you for the call, Ike. You know what, Maurice Claiborne, a big-time cornerback drafted. They traded up to get him. He's going to turn into a big cornerback, and he's going to aid that secondary down in Dallas. Eli Manning has receivers and weapons bar none. Or could be. Hakeem Nicks and Victor Cruz are the best tandem in the league. Arguably, the way they play, Victor Cruz is, I would say, the best slot receiver in the NFL. And you know what? It's going to be a very interesting matchup. Very, very interesting matchup. But I know you brought up the Wonderlic pass. That's not such a big factor right now. That's more into the draft. But we're just going to shift away from that. It's going to be an interesting matchup. And we thank you for the call again. It's going to be a very, very interesting matchup to see Claiborne and Eli Manning, how he throws, how he's going to pass. But you know what, I do think, indeed, the Giants will come out on top. I'm not sure of the line, and Eli has to make a point on this.
Yeah, I just don't get how the Wonderlic comes into play during the regular season. At this point, it's more what your defensive coordinator is going to call for you, and I believe, you know, Dallas will come very well prepared for that. So I don't think a Wonderlic for one player is really going to come into play in the game next week.
Right, okay. Now, let's move on to the game. Of course, we had a New York Giants-Washington Redskins game going back and forth. The Giants come out on top, 27-23. Sloppy game all in all. Robert Griffin was 20 for 28 passing, 258 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then we had Alfred Morris, 22 carries, 120 yards. And you know what? Paulson was the reception leader with 4 receptions, 76 yards. But people are forgetting there was an injury to Fred Davis. If Fred Davis would have been in that game, this game going back and forth, I do not know if the Giants would have won that game. I don't know if the Giants would have won that game. It was a big game for the Giants. They came out on top. Of course, that crucial pass to Victor Cruz. Victor Cruz on the night, he had 7 receptions, 131 yards, and a touchdown. Bradshaw, 12 carries, 43 yards and a touchdown. And then Eli Manning, 337 yards against the Redskins. It was a good game. Good win for the Giants. We're now 5-2 and 3-1 at home. You know what? Before we make a point, we will head out to the phone line to Mark. Mark, he has a question on the Giant game. Mark, Welcome to the DJ and Eli Show.
How are you? I'm a big fan. And I happen to be, I'm very impressed with the way you have the stats very well down pat. I'm very impressed with that.
Thanks, Mark.
So I wanted to know what your guys' take was on where you think that the game turned around for the Giants. Obviously, they had the big cast from Eli, but a player that I think didn't get recognized in this game a lot was Henry Hagnoski. I think the evolution of the fullback in today's game is very, very big. The fullback is not as recognized as it should be. The NFL is really a hard-hitting game, and the fullback, I think, Henry Hagnoski was key in the rushing and especially near the goal line. What did you think about that? He was catching passes, too.
Right, and you know what? I thank you for the call and bringing up the whole fullback thing. We've spoken this on a previous edition. And you know what? The fullback situation right now in the NFL is not as relevant as it used to be, of course. But Henry Hagnoski has slowly become one of the more recognized fullbacks in the NFL entirely. The guy is a great pass-catching fullback. He can run the ball well. He's great at being the extra blocker if Eli Manning needs it in order to get Victor Cruz, his fastest, Akeem Nicks, Ramses Barden, whoever the receiver is, Dominic Hickson. And I think Henry Hagnoski is that quiet piece that may be that key to the Giants' victory today. And I thank you for bringing that up. It was a great point, Mark. And you know what? The Giants are set up. They're playing very, very well as of late, of course, with that schlocking of the San Francisco 49ers. But you know what? They have a tough schedule, the toughest in the NFL. And you know what? They have to win. We got to move on here. We're going to move on to the Packers. The Packers 4-3, the 2-2 away, the Rams 3-4, 3-20. The Packers come out on top. Of course, Aaron Rodgers was 30-37 passing, 342 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And then Sam Bradford 20-34, 255, and 1 touchdown. Eli, what do you have to say about the Packers-Rams game? What are your thoughts on this?
I mean, the Packers right now have got to be the scariest 4-3 team right now because Aaron Rodgers came out slow out of the gate, as we all know, but he's really turned it on these past few weeks, and he looks like the Aaron Rodgers of last year where he was dominant. And right now, I don't want to face the Green Bay Packers as another team.
Right. You know, the Packers are always scary, of course, but you know what? It was in a very interesting game the way that played. We're going to move out on to the Colts-Browns game. The Browns are 1-6. They're 0-4 on the road. And you know what? The Colts, believe it or not, are 3-3, 3-1 at home. They come out, beat the Browns. Of course, the Browns, they revolutionized their side, the backfield. They're bringing in Brandon Whedon, Trent Richardson, to no avail. The Colts, of course, they have a huge upside with Andrew Luck and Kobe Fleener and Dwayne Allen and all their guys they picked up. They have a humongous upside, of course. Whedon was 25-41. 64, 2 touchdowns, and then Andrew Luck, 16-29, 186 yards. Reggie Wayne led with reception, 6 receptions, 73 yards, 0 touchdowns. But at the end of the day, the Colts are, we didn't expect a lot out of the Colts, but you know what? They are slowly going to be coming back with Andrew Luck, and of course, with Kobe Fleener. What do you have to say, Eli, about the Colts-Browns game and the way the Colts are slowly playing?
Just two side interesting notes for me for that game is the Colts managed to pull off the win without their head coach. Remember, Chuck Pagano's in the hospital for getting treatment for cancer, which is very tough on a team. You know, you see what happened to the Saints this year when they started off without their head coach and Sean Payton. They stumbled out of the gate, and the Colts seemed to keep it going without Chuck Pagano. And the Browns, you know, they're faltering big time. And as we know, they just got sold to a new owner. So that means he's bringing in a whole new regime. So it looks like it's going to be a rough year this year for the Browns, and it's not going to get much better going forward because they're going to be retooling, having a GM who's going to bring in a whole different new system.
We're just going to have a quick game break over here. We have the Steelers-Bengals game. The Steelers are up 24-17 on the Bengals with about 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Roethlisberger 26-35, 267 and a score. Andy Dalton, my TCU baby. 14-27, 105 yards, and a touchdown. And you know, we're going to go out to recap that Titans-Bills game, which was a high-scoring game. The Titans come out on top 35-34. The Titans now 3-4, 1-3 away. The Bills 3-4, 1-2 at home. Thompson Bacos 22-33, 205 in the score. And then, of course, you know, Chris Johnson, 18 carries, 195 yards, two touchdowns. Then Ryan Fitzpatrick, 27-35, 225 and two touchdowns. Good game. The Bills couldn't come out on top. Titans get the win. What's there to say about the Titans-Bills game?
I mean, the Titans, it's looking good for the Titans now because Chris Johnson hadn't found the end zone all year so far, finally found it again today. You know, they've got what to build on. The Titans are, it's going to be rough for them, but they have what to build on. It's still a young team, and Buffalo is, they look strong like they always do at the beginning. They looked like they were a team that was going to compete. They retooled their defense and the offense, but they just don't look that impressive right now. They don't look like they can, you know, if you're a good team, if you're a team that's going to compete in the AFC East, you got to be able to close out a game today like when you played the Titans, and they just couldn't do it today and let the Titans come back and win.
100%. Let's go on and move on to the next game. We're going to go on to the Cardinals-Vikings game. Well, the Vikings are 5-2. Do you know that, Eli? They're 4-0 at home, the Vikings. Undefeated with Christian Ponder at home. The Cardinals, they're having a big problem. Kevin Cobb. Kevin Cobb is going to be out for at least 2 months. And you know, John Skelton, Ryan, literally backing up. You know, Vince Young is going to try out to play there. They're a mess. And the Vikings come out 21-14.
The Cardinals' real problem is their offensive line. They are two tackles on the end, have given up over 20 sacks so far, which is a crazy high number. So no matter who the quarterback is there, they're not going to be able to do much because of the pressure. The first few weeks, you know, Arizona looked really good. Their defense was keeping them in games, and they were getting the wins. But now they've been exposed where you can expose that offense, get pressure on the quarterback, and you could stay in the games and beat them.
100%. And you know what? The number to call again is 347-637-2306. So we're going to head out to a small commercial break and get to your calls. We have a lot of calls in queue. Keep it tuned here. We have a lot to talk about. We're going to talk some NBA. We're going to touch on the MLB, some NHL lockout, a lot of NFL. We're going to head out to the short commercial break. You're listening to the DJ and Eli Show on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com.
Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, our newest stars here on NDB Media, DJ and Eli in the evening on every Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific. They're going to be talking it up for 1 hour. They're going to be covering up all sports, all that is necessary, all that is important, everything that's going on. Don't forget, every Sunday, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on NDB Media.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. T-Shirt Launcher Inventor.
Mr. T-Shirt Launcher Inventor.
Not satisfied with standard souvenir distribution, you created a device with enough kick to dislocate a mascot's shoulder.
Someone get a stretcher.
Courtside, luxury box, upper deck. Your high-powered cotton cannon makes every section the nosebleed section.
Hit the deck!
So simple, anyone can operate it. After a background check, a training course, and a 5-day waiting period.
It only shoots T-shirts.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, marksman of the mezzanine. Because we know you'll give us the shirt off your back at 180 feet per second.
Mr. T-shirt, launch in bed.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, written in the stars, a million miles away.
Hamblor, the god of hamburgers, set out to create.
And you know what, we have a lot to talk about. We're going to be covering over the NFL games. We're going to move on to games that went on in the afternoon today. We're recapping. We just spoke about, of course, the Cardinals, the Vikings, with the Cardinals' woes that they had, Eli. Let's move on to an interesting one. It was the Saints-Buccaneers. The Saints and Buccaneers, both 2-4. The Saints beat them with Drew Brees, 35-28. Of course, the Saints had their own scandal this entire season. Brees was 27-37, 377 and four touchdowns. And then, of course, Freeman was 24 for 42, 420 yards and 3 touchdowns. What are we saying about the Saints Buccaneers game and the future of the New Orleans Saints?
I think the Saints are slowly getting back on track. You know, they should. This is a game that they should have scored a lot because the Buccaneers were missing Aqib Talib, and without him, their secondary is just awful. So if they didn't score this amount of points, I'd be worried. Scoring these many points with a quarterback like Drew Brees isn't surprising, but it does show me that slowly but surely they're getting their back on track. They should be a team to look out for in the NFC. And once again, the NFC is such a tough division because you've got so many great teams, whereas in the AFC, the only real dominant team now is Houston. The NFC, you've got the Giants, the Packers, the Saints, the Falcons at 6-0, which we'll talk about. I want to get into a little bit later after we get through today's scores. But the Saints are somebody, you know, their offense is starting to click, and I would worry about them going forward.
100%. And you know what? I want to talk about an interesting point. Reports are coming out from the New York Giants game today against the Washington Redskins. Fred Davis, the tight end, possibly the best tight end in history for Washington, is injured for the season with a torn Achilles. You know what? This is a huge blow, to Washington. You know what? I want to hear what you have to say. Of course, at RG3 and the way he started off, possibly he's leading all Rookie of the Year rating. He looks great so far, and this is a crucial loss for Washington and the Redskins organization. What do you feel about these Redskins going forward, Eli?
The Redskins, you know, the thing is also, remember the past 2 weeks they've been missing Pierre Garçon, who should be back in a few weeks. So that should mitigate a little bit of the loss of Fred Davis. But, yeah, the loss of Fred Davis is going to be huge because RG3 needs all the tools he can get, especially in a rookie year. He's playing phenomenally, but a lot of that's been because the players around him have been playing well also. Losing Fred Davis, I think they'll be fine without him. You know, it's going to be a little more difficult, but RG3, the way he's been playing, to me, shows that he will be able to play without Fred Davis. But I believe they'll bring in a veteran tight end who's sitting there on the market. But if you're Washington,
right,
it's worrisome, you know, but it's not gonna kill you.
It's right, 100%. And you know what? Very interesting with RG3 and the way he started out to play. We'll get on these guys who are running out of the pocket, in the pocket. Making defensive turn in circle, Vic, Cam Newton, and now they're the RG3. What do you have to say? Do you think that this is a new fad, it's a new trend in the NFL, that this can arguably be the new style in the NFL to go with with running quarterbacks out of the pocket, quick athletic quarterbacks? Where do you think the NFL is going with that quarterback position?
No, I think you'll see it'll be the exception rather than the rule because the NFL is still very much a traditional passing game. You know, a quarterback who can bomb it down the field, get the big plays, but also smart, calm, cool, collected in the pocket. And generally run with quarterbacks like RG3, you know, so far he looks to be the exception, but a Cam Newton type, a Michael Vick type, you can't really count on the consistency from them week to week. They go from being great while throwing the ball to being off.
Of course,
and
we know
with
Michael Vick and his injury problems. Michael Vick with his injury problems. That's also
well,
a killer.
Yeah, that's also a quarterback like Newton, RG3, Michael Vick, they're more susceptible to injuries. So I think you'll see teams stick with the traditional quarterback who's calm, cool, collected in the pocket, not necessarily a runner. And you'll have a few teams that'll go for an RG3 type player as they come out
okay.
of college. But I think the NFL
right,
stays with the traditional passer.
And I think, Eli, here we go. I think any team that's going to go after a quarterback who's running is flat out stupid. The NFL is giving you an opportunity, is setting you up and giving you a path to be a successful NFL franchise. The rules of the NFL are created and made to help passing quarterbacks be successful in the NFL and in this league. You know, giving you a free, it's like the IRS offers you a tax break, and you just say, what tax break? I don't need this tax break. We're offering you a free tax break, and you're not going to take that? Are you kidding?
Yeah, the example is against the Falcons, where where you saw RG3 take that hit, that massive hit, which knocked him out of the game.
That was a killer. But you know what, Eli? At the end of the day, the NFL creates rules that protect passing quarterbacks, and you're going to go after guys who run out of the pocket. That's exactly what the Jets are being stupid about. With Tim Tebow getting Tony Sperano ground and pound. The NFL running game is used to open the passing game. They don't use the NFL running game to gain yardage. You want to hear proof? Here's the proof. The last five Super Bowls in the NFL, one of the two teams in the Super Bowl had the worst-ranked running game in the regular season, the New York Giants last season. Ahmad Bradshaw, Brandon Jacobs, 32nd, ding, 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 32nd-ranked running game. The running game will not win you. Where do the Texans go? Where do the Titans go with Chris Johnson? Where do the Vikings go with Adrian Peterson? Where are all these good running back teams? Where are they going? It's all about the quarterback. It's about the passing in the NFL. And if you're going to go out there running game and a running back, Cam Newton, and I'm calling out Cam Newton, and RG3, the guy is very talented, very fun to watch. But I think teams that are going to focus on running quarterbacks are a complete disaster, such as the Jets. And you know, we're going to pull out to Mookie, who wants to make a point. I believe his name is Mookie. I'm Mark Sanchez in the last play of the game. Mookie, you're on the DJ and Eli show.
Yeah, hello, DJ?
Yeah, Mookie, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. For some reason, it feels like every time the Jets are playing a great team, the Jets, they're going down the field, and they have a chance to win. Why does it always feel like Mark Sanchez either throws an interception or fumbles the ball?
You know, it's a good point, and that's what, and we all wonder that. All NFL fans are like you, Mike. We all wonder that. Of course, that's a huge point. He's a sloppy quarterback. What can I say? Tony Sperano's making a play calling. We do know Sanchez, actually, Mookie, went 28 for 41. He threw for 328 yards. One touchdown out of 26 points with one touchdown from Mark Sanchez. Of course, Green got another touchdown in that hit. But Mark Sanchez threw for 328 yards. I don't believe he is the future of the NFL, of the Jets either. And you know what? I believe Eli has to make a point on this. Eli, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Sanchez hasn't really shown that he can come in and win games for the Jets. If you're a Jets fan right now, there is no way you think Mark Sanchez is the quarterback of the future. That being said, to bring in a guy like Tim Tebow, who, for better or worse, is breathing down his neck, at some point in the year, if the Jets keep playing like this and blowing games at the end, you're going to hear all the fans calling for Tim Tebow, and that's never a good thing when you have a guy like Sanchez, who's already not exactly the most confident quarterback.
Right, 100%, 100%. And you know what? It's a very, very big mess what the Jets are doing down there. It's a complete mess. They have to get rid of Tannenbaum. They have to get rid of Rex Ryan. It's a big problem. And, you know, we're going to go out to another new phone line. Jeremy is calling. He wants to talk about Andrew Luck and the way the Colts are playing. Jeremy, you – hold on. We have technical difficulty. Oh,
yeah.
Jeremy. Jeremy, how are you?
How are you? Love this show. I just want to know, I see that Luck has been doing better in the past few weeks. Now, we know that Kobe Fleener is a sure stud. How do you think that the emergence of Luck as a great quarterback correlates with the emergence of Kobe Fleener as a great tight end? Old teammates from Stanford, and we know Fleener is a surefire stud. And how do you think that that's helping Luck in his development? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing up this point, Jeremy. You know what it says? It's a wonder how in the second round of the draft this year, the Colts go and take Kobe Fleener, a tight end out of Stanford, big boy, very great athleticism. The guy can play. He's unbelievable. My point is about Andrew Luck and Kobe Fleener. They have to develop a chemistry that they already have. So, you know what, they're just transitioning that chemistry that they developed in Stanford and are moving it and letting it transition into the NFL game. They have also the Elfman. This is going to be a very interesting combo, and you're going to hear that Luck to Fleener a lot in the future of the NFL. Of course, Fleener, with his unbelievable talent, can arguably be the steal of this draft People will end up on him. There were scouts saying that the teams that will end up with Kobe Fleener, maybe a changed team of the future. Eli, what do you have to say on this whole Andrew Luck, Kobe Fleener situation?
I think Kobe Fleener, like you said, is an incredible athlete in and of itself and is a great tight end. It just made it all much easier for Luck to transition, and Fleener also coming into the NFL, playing with the quarterback he played with in college, and their chemistry stays right from day one. I think you'll probably see some teams try doing that in the future going forward in the drafts. You get a rookie quarterback who you plan on either starting right away or starting within the year. I wouldn't be surprised if you see teams starting to draft either their receiver, a tight end, somebody on that team that they already have chemistry developed with. I mean, you have a similar situation on my Dolphins where we draft Ryan Tannehill. He ends up getting a starting job, but a large part of that was because Mike Sherman, who was his head coach in college, is now the offensive coordinator for Miami. It always makes sense to keep the chemistry, so I think it benefits both players, Andrew Luck and Fleener, coming right out of the gate with that chemistry already being rookies and letting their offense blossom with those two.
100%. Eli, I want to get right back to you on this. We know the Dolphins did not play this week. I know you're a big Dolphins guy. What do you feel about it? The Dolphins have been playing great so far. They are 3-3. You know what? I want to hear what you have to say about the Dolphins' play of late, how they're playing, and what do you think their future will be? What do you feel their future will be for the rest of the season?
I mean, their future is incredibly bright. I don't know about this year. I mean, I think they have a good team. They're not solid enough yet to where you can say with conviction, yeah, they'll compete for the playoffs. They'll push the Pats. I think they have a chance to do it, but it's not a solid conviction that they will. But their future is incredibly bright. They got Ireland, had a very solid draft this year, getting Tannehill in the first, picking up a starting right tackle in Jonathan Martin, who's going to be there alongside with Jake Long and Mike Pouncey, who they drafted last year. You have a very solid line. You've got a few young players on the defense in Sean Smith, a cornerback. He's having a very solid year. Olivier Vernon, who they drafted to be a linebacker. And the best part is they've got $50 million in cap space and an extra second-round pick that they got for trading Davis to the Colts. So their future is bright. I think this year, especially with the way AFC East is looking right now, it's wide open. Miami's gotten better every single week. And I know we can't play this game, but they've lost two games in overtime. You give them those two wins, you're looking at a much different team. They're 3-3, but it's a very confident 3-3. Tannehill's getting better every single week. He's using his tools that he has. They're not the greatest receiving core. You got to assume they're going to get him another one or two receivers going forward, but he's making use of the players that he has now. He's making them better. He's getting better every single week. So I think I like them going forward this year and going forward in the next 5 years. The future looks very bright for the Dolphins.
100%, and we know the producer's calling for a commercial break. When we come back, here is a superstar in the NBA who has brought a championship to a pretty good team. This guy has basically led the NBA the last decade or so. Question is, this guy, in his prime, there's a big injury that has just affected him. How will this affect him? How will this affect the rest of the NBA? You're listening to the DJ and Eli in the evening show, Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. Let's go out to a commercial break.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. T-Shirt Launcher Inventor.
Mr. T-Shirt Launcher Inventor.
Not satisfied with standard souvenir distribution, you created a device with enough kick to dislocate a mascot's shoulder.
Someone get a stretcher.
Courtside, luxury box, upper deck. Your high-powered cotton cannon makes every section the nosebleed section.
Hit the deck.
So simple, anyone can operate it. After a background check, a training course, and a 5-day waiting period.
It only shoots T-shirts.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Marksman of the Mezzanine, because we know you'll give us the shirt off your back at 180 feet per second.
Mr. T-Shirt Launcher Inventor.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
folks. I'm Roger Noriega from NDB Media. Just want to give you a taste of our schedule. All times are Pacific. Sunday at 2:30 p.m. ADD Tangent. Rave at 6. DJ and Eli in the evening at 8. This week on NDB Media at 9. On Monday, 6:30 a.m. Fantasy Extra. Then at 4 p.m. Deep Space Jeff. 8 p.m. Sports Talk with the Guys, Weekend Edition. On Tuesday, 6 p.m. The Five Tool Show. At 7, Tuesday Night America. At 8, Fandom Access. On Wednesday at 9 a.m., Bertone Beatles Bonanza. At 4, A Gal for All Seasons. 5, Tri-State Sports Guys. On the first Wednesday, Comics 101. On the last Wednesday, Eclectic Offerings. On Thursday at 4 p.m., twice a week, Classic Trek with Sam and Dave. 5 p.m., Travelitch Radio. At 7 p.m., Edge of Reality. Friday, 6:30 a.m., Fantasy Extra. 1 p.m. Sports Opinion Show with Matt Alvarez. Raise Your Glass is on at 5. Your Mental Health Radio is on at 6. On Saturday, Sports Talk with the Guys Extravaganza. And then Runaway Mind on the third Saturday. Lots of stuff going on. NDBmedia.net, twitter.com/NDBmedia.
Black is back, and only at Quiznos. It's the Black Angus on Rosemary Parmesan. Quality, thick sliced Black Angus steak topped with melted mozzarella and cheddar. Try it. You're gonna like it. Quiznos. Toasty.
How do you make a tasty sub? There's the Quiznos way, and there's Wrong Way.
Hello.
Quiznos uses meat sliced fresh daily. Wrong Way uses shingle packed meats in a bag. Quiznos uses bread made especially for toasting. At Wrong Way. And now, fresh out of the Quiznos oven, is our new peppercorn parmesan turkey with bacon sub. Only $3.49 for a... what the? For a limited time only at Quiznos.
We are back here. The DJ and Eli in the evening show here on Blog Talk Radio, BlogTalkRadio.com. The number to call is 347-637-2306. And you know what? Dirk Nowitzki, he's going to be a topic of conversation right now. He has had a crucial injury that's going to put him out for a while. Here's a question. Is Dirk Nowitzki in his prime or is he past his prime? And what is the future of Dirk Nowitzki in the NBA and what he means to the Dallas Mavericks? Eli, I want to get your take on this. I know you're a big basketball guy. Tell me about Dirk Nowitzki and what he means to the NBA and to the Dallas Mavericks.
Nowitzki's not exactly past his prime. He was tailing off a little bit, but you're still a much better team with Dirk Nowitzki than you are without him. And it's going to hurt the Mavs. It's going to hurt them, you know, especially last year they tailed off also coming off the championship. And it's going to be interesting to see how they play without Dirk Nowitzki because they were probably going to start going away from him anyway. So this is a good chance for Dallas to look and see what they have without Nowitzki.
All right, 100%. Of course, what an NBA offseason with the Lakers getting Steve Nash, Dwight Howard, big offseason. I want to hear your take. The reports earlier this week, I know you're a big Miami Heat guy, even though you're coming out of Atlanta. There were reports that LeBron may join the Lakers in 2014.
Yeah, I think that was just a reporter getting a little overeager, looking for a story leading up to camp. I mean, you know LeBron loves the South Beach lifestyle. He's larger than life. You'd have the same thing in L.A., granted, but he's playing with guys he really respects, and Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh even, and under Pat Riley, Coach Spoelstra, even though there was controversy about it, you know, him every year. But I think LeBron really, truly likes the situation.
Right, 100%. I hear that. But you know, in regard to LeBron...
Sorry about that. Got cut off for a second.
Okay, go ahead. So we're talking about LeBron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's L.A., while L.A. is going to be an enticing option, you know, they're going to be kind of cash-strapped. You know, if they hope to keep Dwight Howard, which they're definitely going to angle to do, Kobe, whether he's there or not, is going to be a factor. I don't think LeBron goes there if Kobe's still there, because we all know Kobe is not, you know, a pass-friendly player. LeBron, I just see him, if he goes back to another team, I would assume it's towards the end of his career with a team like Cleveland. You know, the situation in Miami is great for him. He's got Dwayne Wade. He's got Udonis Haslem. They've got a very solid core. He's the center of attention. They're very clear that the offense is going through him. They added three-point players. They're opening up the offense. You know, you have LeBron with a real great center. It changes LeBron's game. I like what Miami did to, you know, make the offense where LeBron will be able to play the big man, quote-unquote, and have force teams to either double-team him down low or double-team the three-point shooters. I think right now it's a little premature to talk about him jumping somewhere else. He's made it very clear that he's focused on this year. Whether he jumps somewhere else at the end of the year, you know, that'll be an interesting thing to see. But right now the focus is on this season and what they do to try to defend their championship.
100%, and I do indeed think they will defend the championship, of course. And, you know, we'll put that icing on top, and it kills me as a Knicks fan.
I'm going to jump in again. Exactly. The crazy thing is Miami last year struggled to find their identity a little bit. They were trying to get a big man, even though they didn't have one, but play a big type of game where they were going down low. And then they finally, in the playoffs and finals, said, look, enough of this. We're going to play small ball. They went with James, Battier, Wade, Bosch as the center, Haslem. They mixed it up, and they played small ball, and they forced the other teams to play to their speed, and there's no other team that can really keep up with them. I feel they're going to blow out teams this year, like you saw in the last game of the finals. Oklahoma City just looked like a minor league basketball team, and they're one of the best teams in the league. And add that to the fact that Miami adds Ray Lewis off the bench, Rashard Lewis off the bench. It could be, you know, you're going to see teams that are going to be so overwhelmed by who to cover that it's going to give Miami incredible opportunities to just blow teams out of the water.
100%. We have still left to cover. We have about 20 minutes or so left to the show. The number to call, 347-637-2306. We're going to head out to a short commercial break. When we come back, we're going to finish up on the NBA, talking about the Knicks, maybe about the East, the Brooklyn Nets, and there what they're doing, a little Heat stuff. I will go out onto a little MLB. Tigers playing against the Cardinals, Giants, Game 7. And, of course, we do have a caller on the line to talk about the NHL lockout. We will talk about the NHL lockout. After commercial break, you're listening to the DJ and Eli Show on Block Talk Radio, blocktalkradio.com.
These days, my dollar just doesn't go as far. In my car, it gets me about 6 miles. On my cell phone, maybe 4 minutes. But at McDonald's, my dollar gets me through the entire day. From sausage McMuffin with egg for breakfast to a tasty double cheeseburger. Thanks to McDonald's Dollar Menu, my dollar gets me right where I want to be. Satisfied.
We are back here in studio here in downtown Waterbury, Connecticut, and Atlanta, Georgia, simulcasted around the globe on Block Talk Radio, blocktalkradio.com. We've had a great show so far with about 15 minutes remaining. We were just talking about me and Eli, about the Miami Heat and how they're going to be dangerous. And I want to move over to the New York Knicks, and I think the New York Knicks have a lot in store for them. Of course, picking up Raymond Felton, Jason Kidd, Pergione, their new point guard. Of course, Stoudemire is going to be out 2 to 3 weeks, but when he comes back, we'll have him, Tyson Chandler, of course, Carmelo Anthony. I think they can compete with Miami and Chicago. They're not on the same level as Miami. There's nothing to talk about, but I do think they can compete with them. And I want to hear what Eli has to say about the New York Knicks in the East. How big of a threat are they? What are the keys you feel for the New York Knicks to be a successful franchise this season?
I mean, the Knicks will be able to compete with the rest of the East, I believe. But like you said, I don't think they're a challenge for Miami. the East, other than Miami, is wide open. You know, Boston's going to be reinventing themselves a little without Allen. They're getting a little bit older. You've got Chicago, who's going to have to play without Derrick Rose. So I think the Knicks could compete and, you know, be one of the top teams in the East. And it'll be interesting to see how they adjust now without Amare. And, you know, it'll 100%. Be interesting to see him come out of the gate. You know, no more Jeremy Lin. That young point guard, they're now shifting,
anyway.
You know, shifting.
I wasn't a big Lin guy. You know, Lin was a fluke. I don't think he'll do anything. He got his money. I don't think he'll do anything on Houston Lin. What do you, Lin? Jeremy Lin. The guy, he's a joke. He's a publicity stone. He led the Knicks for a couple of games. He's a Harvard kid. Good story. Book. Money. The guy is not a Durant. The guy is not a Westbrook. The guy is not a Rondo. The guy is not a Derrick Rose. He is not that type of player. And people are treating him like this guy is the god of the NBA.
I don't think he's the god of the NBA. I think you're right.
He was
overhyped, but he was still a solid enough point guard. Now, Woodson, I don't think used him correctly. He wasn't the right fit for Woodson's system, but I do think he'll be a solid point guard. He's not, you know, as one of my great Knicks fans tried telling me, the next coming of Michael Jordan. But he's a solid point guard. I think in Houston he'll be solid. The question is whether Nash will be able to hold up for the year and fill that slot of point guard, which killed the Knicks last year.
100%. Nash, Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd, he's going to play with Felton. I think that's going to be a good combo. Marcus Camby to pick up some big men to help out Tyson Chandler down in the backcourt and paint coverage. You know what? We're going to move out on to the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets doing very interesting. They're picking up Joe Johnson, Gerald Wallace, of course, with Darren Williams re-signing. And they're also going to be a threat. The East is loaded with talent. I want to hear your thoughts for the Brooklyn Nets. And what they're
going to
do this season.
Yeah, the Nets, I mean, clearly it was their second option this whole, you know, the team they have now, because they went very hard after Dwight Howard. But, you know, I like what they did, but it didn't really give them that much flexibility going forward, because Joe Johnson, you know, I'm in Atlanta, I hear what the Atlanta Hawks player, you know, the players and fans are saying. Joe Johnson is a solid player. He's not worth the money that he gets paid. So, you know, right now it's a good another piece for them. But, you know, I don't know how well it did for them going in the future. But this season they definitely could compete in the East, which will be nice going into a new city. You know, Brooklyn, you know, will come out and support them. I've heard from a few people who've been to the new arena already. It's gorgeous. They did a great job with it. And they're really moving away from the woeful Nets that we know to a team that looks legit in a Brooklyn Nets team in a bottom half of the East that looks a little bit, you know, the East every year. The bottom half is weak, and the top half you can sneak into and make the playoffs. And I think the Brooklyn Nets will do that.
100%. And you know what? We're going to move on out to a new sport now. We're enough for the NBA for now. We're going to move on to the baseball. Now, what's going on with St. Louis? And San Francisco, St. Louis, the second most winningest franchise in baseball besides the Yankees, of course. We know they're heading out to Game 7. After the Giants beat the Cardinals 5-1 Game 6 NLCS, Ryan Vogel saw a career-best nut in another preseason agenda here against San Francisco, which is going to force a decisive Game 7, of course, which will obviously lead to the World Series against the Detroit Tigers, who are a scary team with their pitching, Verlander, and, of course, they're picking up Prince Fielder. They're a great team. You know what? Who do you think will take it? I think the Cardinals will take it against the Giants, and I want the Cardinals to take it. But, again, let them get back in. Of course, the big story with Pujols leaving, let them make the playoffs, and let them make the World Series. Without Pujols, I think it would mean a lot to the Cardinals organization, Tony La Russa and co. What do you have to say about this, Eli, in regards to the World Series with St. Louis, San Francisco?
Yeah, same thing, same here. You got to say St. Louis is going to go to the World Series. I mean, they're the home team in a Game 7. They've been playing pretty hot, except for the fact they faced a really strong Vogelsong today. The interesting thing will be to see is how well the Tigers come out on Wednesday night when the series does start. They've been off for what's almost a week, week and a half, and it, you know, they had a little scrimmage today, and from the reports I saw, their bats were a little bit, you know, weak because they've been sitting around waiting. That to me is going to be the most interesting part. Not necessarily who wins the St. Louis San Fran, because those teams, two very good teams. It'll be to see how the Detroit Tigers, who've been pitching lights out, who their offense has been playing very well, how they respond to all the time off in between the series.
100%, and you know, they killed my Yankees. They swept them in four. The first time the Yankees getting swept in 32 years. That was a killer. Of course, with the whole A-Rod Wordingate scandal, that's a big issue. We're not going to talk. The Yankees have a lot of free agents. Beecher, Granderson, Swisher, and no, Mariano Rivera, Russell Martin. They have so many. They're going to have a very, very, very big offseason. And they're going to have a lot to talk about. And you know, before we talk about the Yankees, I want to put on Eli Izzy. He's calling in live. Izzy, you're on the DJ Eli show. Welcome.
Thanks for patching me through. Yeah, listen, I hear you guys talking all types of sports. I got to tell you, I'm actually a New Yorker. Unfortunately, I've seen the good, the bad, the ugly. Fortunately, though, I'm a Yankee fan, I'm a Knicks fan, a Giants fan, and a Ranger fan. So I guess you could say I get the best of both worlds. It could be worse. I could be a Mets fan or a Jet fan. I heard you guys talking about the Nets before. Very interesting.
Izzy, you could be an Islander fan like me. Yeah, the Rangers, at least.
An Islander fan?
Yeah, that's a little bit. I know.
I feel for you. An Icelander fan. I don't know if you're familiar with Steve Summers. You've heard of Steve Summers?
Oh, yeah. Of course, Steve Summers. My boy.
The Schmoozer. Me here and you there for a Thursday night schmooze.
And Robert McGonagall on the other side of the glass. We're going to talk about the New York Icelander. Then the answer is
absolutely.
On a Thursday night schmooze on 660, number to call 718.
66. Side getting ethnic again with the matzah and the cream cheese. Absolutely.
Izzy, back to your chess point. We're running out of time here.
You're running out of time. Yikes, I forgot. This is internet radio. Usually I'd have been cut off if I was on 66. To Mr. Gray, you should be very happy with the performance by the Jets and by the Patriots. Both teams look awful today.
Exactly. Right. The thing I don't get is I've said that, and I've had people write back to me, what do you mean? The Patriots are still the team to beat. And I disagree with that. They're playing very beatable. They are very beatable right now.
Their secondary is awful. The run defense is nothing to write home about. Brady, it's well documented, even in the show called The Numbers Never Lie. On the final 5 minutes of the game, the guy is absolutely the opposite of Eli Manning. The guy's not money. He's terrible. So he can't carry them late. So if they have even a 3 or 7 point lead, they could lose at the end. The Jets, let's face it, a million different injuries. They find ways to lose. They don't find ways to win. As a Dolphin fan, I would say that it doesn't look too bad for you. The people probably knocking you are probably the people that can't handle the fact that the Jets really are that mediocre and the Patriots are extremely beatable. I guess the Bills, will find ways to lose also. So I guess you can say you're right.
And, you know, the past few years, the Dolphins have also been that team. They'll find ways to lose like the Jets. But in the past few weeks, it's been the opposite. They haven't found ways to blow out teams yet when they had the opportunity to. But they've been put in opportunities to lose the game, and they found ways to win or hold the lead, which has been very enlightening, you know, very good note for me.
Well, you got to be happy with your quarterback. Your quarterback's playing pretty decently overall. I mean, again, he's a rookie, so this is what you should expect from him. As far as the Jets, they don't know which way they want to go because when Sanchez plays well, they can still lose. Brady's still Brady, but again, that's secondary.
They
got awful.
Just like they did today, and Sanchez had a wonderful game. We just have to cut off Izzy due to time. But he's making up very good points about the Patriots. And you know what, Eli? I don't know if the Patriots are the team to beat anymore, and I agree with you. They are playing a very, very, very beatable football.
Exactly. That's my entire point with the Patriots right now is I still think they're a good football team, but they're beatable, and I don't think they're the team to beat anymore. They are very beatable, and the AFC East to me is wide open.
Of course, you're listening to the DJ and Eli Show here live on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. We're simulcasted from downtown Waterbury, Connecticut, and, of course, downtown Georgia. For the view, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday evening. Numbers to call is 347-637-2306. A lot of dirt going on in the NHL. I do not like it at all. We will be back to talk some NHL. After these messages from your local stations, you're listening to the DJ and Eli Show. I'm Bob Tookley.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. T-Shirt Launcher Inventor.
Mr. T-Shirt Launcher Inventor.
Not satisfied with standard souvenir distribution, you created a device with enough kick to dislocate a mascot's shoulder.
Someone get a stretcher.
Courtside, luxury box, upper deck. Your high-powered cotton cannon makes every section the nosebleed section.
Hit the deck!
So simple, anyone can operate it. After a background check, a training course, and a 5-day waiting period.
It only shoots T-shirts.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Marksman of the Mezzanine, because we know you'll give us the shirt off your back at 180 feet per second.
Mr. T-Shirt Launcher Inventor.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri. Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Ground beef, refried beans, guacamole, cheese, sour cream, and if there's any room left, a few shreds of lettuce.
I don't see no lettuce.
A culinary creation that baffles the human mind. A 12,000-calorie salad.
Ah, caramba.
Some may ask, is your taco salad healthy? Of course it is. It's a salad, isn't it?
You can eat that deep-fried country bowl.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, conquistador of the calorie. You put the feast in fiesta.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Hamblor, the god of hamburgers, set out to create the ultimate burger with all the flavors of a steakhouse. 100% black Angus beef, crispy onion strings, A1 steak sauce, and crumbled blue cheese. It was glorious. The new Steakhouse $6 Burger from Carl's Jr.
Tastes like it's made by the god of ham.
They come from the earth, dirty, ragged. But inside is a natural sweetness that comes from being wrapped in the earth's embrace and gently caressed by the hands of loving farmers.
Whoa. This ain't no romance novel. It's just a sweet potato.
Nature's Sweet Potato, now in McCain Super Fries. McCain, it's all good.
Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, we're back here. Our newest stars here on Indy.
The DJ and Eli Show, excuse me, technical difficulties. We're just going to get out. We have about a minute and a half left of the show. We're just going to talk at the end of the show about the NHL lockout. We're going to head out to the phone lines. Iggy's been waiting on for about 20 minutes. Iggy, you're on the DJ and Eli Show. Welcome to the show.
Hi, what's up, DJ?
What's going on, Iggy?
How are you? Basically, I got a question. What do you think about this NHL lockout situation?
Thank you for the call, Iggy. And the NHL lockout is being a disaster. We started out with a 50-50 proposal. The union didn't want it. The union's being tough. The players, of course, threw that out. This is going to be a tough fight back and forth. Of course, they canceled October games, the November game. This will be tough. I want to thank all my supporters, of course. My producer is the best, none other than who's been doing this for me. Eli, my co-host. We'll be back Sunday next week, 11 p.m. The DJ and Eli Show on Blog Talk Radio. Like us on Facebook.